Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen, D.A.D.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? Just going to quickly mention, before we do go live, I'm going to have to go back to the office and go get my championship belt because I haven't got it on.
I mean, do we even need it at this point?
How are you?
Yeah, good. We nearly didn't make it here, or I didn't.
No.
I had a paranoid COVID scare.
I know.
That I walked into my bathroom to do my COVID test an hour before I left the house, and there was another COVID test there with a faint positive line. And I was like, oh my God, who's done this test?
Whose test is it?
So I did my test. I came back fine. I was like, what are the rules here? This is a new type of test. When was it made? Like, I thought it was done this morning. I found out it was done by my partner the previous night, which means it was null and void after 20 minutes. You know, the initial reading was right. And yeah, apparently food contamination.
Wow, really?
It's a little bit of food in your mouth. Has made the line dry weird about 6 hours after the test.
So everything is fine. You're all negative.
I hope so.
Your partner's all negative. I'm all negative. Do you ever feel, because you haven't had it. Mm. I haven't had it either. But we've had people in the office. Andy's had it. Adam's had it. Producer Rich has had it. My brother texted me yesterday to say that his girlfriend has just tested positive. Are you getting FOMO? that you haven't had it?
There's a part of me that would like to, because so many people have got it now. It's no longer cool to say I've had. You know, I actually had this chat with Andy yesterday because I was like, you were like the first person of this wave of people. Because before Andy, no one I knew had really had it.
Yeah, with the Omicron stuff.
Yeah, and he went, yeah, I was one of the last Deltas. You are somehow trying to say you're now the best at COVID variants?
Yeah, that does sound like the sort of thing that Andy would do.
No, but my sister's had it twice, I think, and my parents have both had it. They had it last week. They're fine now. No symptoms whatsoever, thankfully. So, yeah. But no, I think it's now more cool to say you haven't had it.
Oh, man, yeah. Like, I think you and I are doing pretty well.
Pretty well.
Pretty good.
Plus, I do have asthma. So there is that underlying threat that I'll be a bad one.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Like, because of the condition that I have, there was a period of time, like, early on in the pandemic when someone was on the news with something that's very similar to mine. Who said, like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's been so tough because I'm in complete isolation. I'm not allowed to leave the house. And I was like, oh. Oh, wait, should I not have left the house either? Because I've been going to the shops to do all the shopping and stuff because I can drive.
Just went and bought loads of ice cream in the street, in the park.
And so I was like, oh, no, maybe should I not be going out? And then I spoke to my GP and they were like, no, you're okay. You're like, if you get it, like, yeah, it'll be bad. But you're not an at-risk person.
Well, thankfully, it's all okay. And as you'll see, if you're watching the video version of this, I'm wearing a fancy shirt because I'm going to the theater tonight.
So there was a thread yesterday. I mean, you're not on the old Twitter machine, so you won't have seen this. But somebody posted up saying, why do you get dressed up when you go to wrestling shows? And there was...
Who does?
Well, this shows that you're not on the old Twitter machine, because this became a thing yesterday on Twitter of people being like, me, and showing them sort of getting out, like getting very fancily dressed up, going out to wrestling shows because they are into the world of fashion and things like that. So they want to look nice when they go out for wrestling shows. And I did, and I was looking at this being like, man, like I have, this has really put in my hasn't changed his style since he was 14 years old ass to shame. Like I found an image of Wrestling MediaCon where you and I were booked as guests for that show and are still dressed in three-quarter length shorts and a crap t-shirt.
But I think it's such a thing with you now that you are a cartoon character. People would feel disappointed if they didn't see Bart Simpson wearing the orange top and the short shorts.
Oh, that's... Well, I'm not short. Oh, you're saying Bart Simpson, right?
Yeah, the shorty shorts.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I'm wearing my flood
shorts. Long shorts.
Yes, yeah. My long shorts. In fact, actually, yeah, Hannah, who's one of the Fightful mods, messaged me being like, those aren't shorts, they're longs.
Mm.
Yeah.
We don't have that word over here.
No. Those are just shorts. They're three-quarter length shorts. Anyway, we need to get into the main show.
That sounds like a goddamn segment, though. You know, what's the fanciest thing you've worn to a wrestling show? Email us in, support@wrestletalk.com.
We actually
and
do have some
I'll give you an intro. Bow, 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 bow. I'm so fancy at a wrestling show. I will do that every time we get an email about it.
Well, we have got a handful of emails in for Get Betters, which we will read out in the outro portion of this show. We're going to be talking about Raw. Here it is.
Well, that escalated quickly. Maurice just tried to murder Beth Phoenix with a brick to the back of the head. It's like when someone pulls out a knife in wrestling or a Glock. It just kind of takes you out of the moment. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, D-A-D. Welcome to the Raw Review Podcast. Of course, if you haven't already, please give us a subscribe, leave a comment, send in an ultra chat to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll be answering all of those over $5 throughout the show. But first, what did you think of this segment?
I have. Okay, so...
Oh, actually, what did you think of this episode?
Well, that's actually what I wanted to open this chat up with.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't think I'm in the consensus.
Ollie Davis, what did you give this episode in your edited review?
High four.
You gave this episode a 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5. I watched this on my own. I watched your edited review on my own when I was in the office on my tard. I nearly choked on my food.
Did you, but afterwards, did you think, oh, wow, he's convinced me because he knows wrestling so well. He's figured out all the nuances I missed.
I mean, I've got some feedback here on the old Twitter machine saying, you don't need to explain, just send him straight to the hospital and get the help he needs.
I don't like the word hospital.
Yeah,
thank
you. Someone did correct him to say medical facility. Was Ollie drunk?
No.
Once again, Luke has all the correct opinions.
But you tweeted that one.
No, that was someone else. Someone said, by Raw standards, maybe.
By Raw 2021 standards, it's a 7 out of 5.
But obviously, we usually do this at the end, but I put this up on the community poll of what did people think of this show, and 43% gave it 1 out of 5 Rawful.
It's a troll vote, this.
43.
It's a troll vote.
Okay, well, if it's not, 5% of the audience agreed with you. 5% of the multitude
how
of
did I go... come last out of all 5 options?
Yeah,
4 is the lowest one.
Yeah,
5 out of 5 got more.
Yeah, so I think this might be the most Yeah, I think this is the most disparagings I've ever seen between your thoughts on an episode and the general consensus of our audience's thoughts on an episode. Where, like, I listened to your review, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm surprised he's giving it a 3 out of 5, but I guess, you know, Ollie's a different man. And then when you said 4, I was like, are you high? What happened?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't really care about the consistency of the ratings abroad. I care about the consistency of my ratings for AEW, because that is a show that has a clear bench line that it's set for itself. WWE programming is all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's what it does. And sometimes my mood aligns with that. And sometimes it makes me very, very irritated because I want more consistency. But today, when I watched it this morning, and Vince McMahon threatened to text Austin Theory's mum, and Maryse hit Beth in the back of the head with a brick, and the whole graduation ceremony bit, I was sports entertained.
So you, now that Maryse has hit Beth Phoenix with a brick, do you think this will play, this super serious angle will play into the birthday celebration they have planned next week? Has it now got you interested in this angle?
Yes.
Are you now interested in their Royal Rumble match?
I'm interested to see where they go from the brick. Yes.
I guarantee you Beth will just be on TV next week fine.
No. I think Beth will sell it for at least 7 days. She'll turn up at the Rumble, of course. But Edge will get his revenge, a fiery revenge. But he can't hit Maryse. But then maybe Beth Glamazon storms out. But they don't touch.
See, now my reading on this was that it was not this big serious thing that she hit her with a brick. I think what this read to me was that, like, huh, she only hit her with a purse. Why does she go down so much? Oh, there was a brick inside. Mm. It was, you know, like Bret Hart with the metal plate going up against Goldberg.
Yeah, it's on the same level.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. I think people will be talking about this angle in 20 years' time. Just we're talking about Bret Hart Goldberg.
OMG moment.
I remember that time when Maryse hit Beth Phoenix with a brick, and I thought to myself, that's an OMG moment.
I thought it wasn't a brick, but then when I saw her go down that hard, I thought it's got to be something more in that purse.
I think it's probably a brick. Oh yeah, I got hit with a brick once.
Is it only William Regal doing these talking heads?
William Regal's the best one on those OMG moment things because it's William Regal. And then Austin came out in a beer truck. And I thought, what's an OMG moment? But yeah, so I thought this was almost a nothing segment.
Oh, okay.
A nothing segment. And the reason my thoughts on this are a nothing segment, I think this story sucks. And I think that it doesn't work because Edge won at day one. So the story doesn't make any sense.
That is why I must fight their corner here, because you're freaking backing me into it, YouTube. That is why it's not a feud based around Edge touching Miz. It's a feud based around Maryse touching Beth, or vice versa.
Vice versa.
Because they never touched at day one. And now they haven't really touched here because it was the brick through a purse that touched Beth. Mm-hmm. Beth getting her revenge on Maryse. Maryse is the big receipt here.
So you think that this match at the Rumble ends the feud then?
Yeah, because then Edge will do something serious for WrestleMania season. Mm. A loss.
Shane McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking on the way here, I was like, well, actually, we're about time for a Shane McMahon return. So maybe it'll be Edge versus Shane. So yeah, so the other reason why I wasn't massively into this angle is because, if you haven't seen the show, what happened was Edge and Beth were backstage chatting with Dana and Reggie, and then Priest?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and then Kevin Owens walked up to Priest. Yeah, it was like a sort of a revolving thing. And they were given a note from Maryse that said, I want to meet you in the ring, woman to woman, you know, just Maryse and Beth. And Edge was like, I can't let you do that because we know what the Miz and Maryse do. It's a trap. I am Admiral Akbar here. It's a trap. You can't go there alone. So Maryse is standing in the ring being like, no, please come out. Just woman to woman. And Edge comes out with Beth anyway. And I'm like, well, you know, as the babyface, you are going against the wishes here. But fair enough. You can see.
Because he knew it was a trap.
You can see that a trap is coming. And then what happened? They fell into a trap. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what you're thinking if you're watching this at home. It's like, didn't they do that angle in the lead up to the day one match? And you'd be right. Mm-hmm. They did this exact angle twice, in fact, leading up to the day one match.
I don't think it's the exact angle because brick. Honestly, the brick has egg level significance for me now.
Everyone is calling you Ollie Dangor now with your terrible takes.
There are a few things that will make me do an immediate retraction, but that I take all my opinions back. It was a crap show. I hated it. I didn't enjoy myself. Brick, 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 brick. Yeah. Pete messaged me this morning. He said just two words, brick rolled. And then I didn't reply because I didn't think it deserved one. Mm-hmm. And he commented again 5 minutes later, Ollie. I had the brick rolled. You can use that joke. I said, no, Pete. I heard you.
Yeah, but Pete also turned down my excellent idea that I had this morning.
There's a good idea in there, but I think the ramifications are too severe.
So, yeah, I messaged you this morning, you know, talking about, like, me and Ollie always have this chat, like, what are we going to call the Raw podcast? And I was always messaging Ollie with, like, a handful of suggestion things.
And Lashley and Lesnar.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, I guess there was the Lashley-Lesnar promo video that was really good. So, and that's the most watched thing on WWE's YouTube channel.
A video promo?
So I was like, well, maybe we could do something around that. Also, I suppose, you know, there was something in the main event. Maybe we could do something around that. Because really, nothing else happened on this show. And you replied to me in all caps. Maurice tried to murder Beth Phoenix with a brick. And I was like, how? Why is Ollie taking this angle so seriously?
It just caught me by surprise. Like, I wasn't into the feud at all. And, you know, I think Maurice did really well on the promo beforehand. She actually made the crowd boo her.
Yeah, she was excellent on that.
Pretty flat crowd most of the night as well. Mm-hmm. Edge got a reaction. By default, it got the most crowd reaction on the whole show.
No, the Alpha Academy graduation.
That was excellent.
That got way more of a reaction than yesterday's.
You know it's all about your balls! Manscaped, baby! You know it's time to shave your balls! Manscaped, baby! Manscaped is the name. Performance package is the game. Lawn mower 4.0. Waterproof cordless steal the show. Great deal, 20% off your order from your friends. Here at WrestleTalk, we love thee. Use the code WTTV. Free international shipping. You even get yourself two free gifts with the weed whacker for your nose, because it's not just about your balls. Manscaped, baby. You know it's time to shave your balls. Treat yourself, baby. That's right, you can get 20% off your order and free international shipping at manscaped.com/WTTV. That's 20% off your order, free international shipping, manscaped.com/WTTV.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's see what everybody else says on the Ultra Chat. Charles Berg says, Maurice, you probably want to lay low, find a safe house or a relative close by, because you may be wanted for murder. I've had a terrible vision of the future. Veer Mahan is going to debut a dancing gimmick. They'll call him the Venerosaurus or V-Rex. Oh, I like V-Rex.
V-Rex is very good. Yeah, we've got another Veer is coming promo for Veer Mahan after 2 weeks of missing. He's back to coming again. I actually missed it, because I was skipping through the recaps and stuff. So
I didn't see it.
It's only until I went onto the Twitter machine and everyone was going like, aha, they played another Veer Mahan promo. I was like, oh, bugger, I missed that bit.
Jack Nichols, Maurice pulled a Marky D and hit Beth right into the shove it zone. What a load of bollocks. I enjoyed
Sounds like a fan of the angle.
I enjoyed SP3 and Luke last night. Pappies that make me happy. God damn. What's your favorite Wes Briscoe match?
My favorite Wes Briscoe match? Good crikey.
Was it my favorite Gerald Briscoe match?
Is it the lingerie, the evening
No, it's match? The it's the hardcore title win.
Yeah, yeah.
One, two, three. Gerald Briscoe
was
the hardcore champion.
Bit of ASMR there. No, I can't tell you what my favorite Wes Briscoe match is. Did he do one of the Lethal Lockdown matches? Because probably that one.
You can hear... If you listen closely, you can hear Tempest, Sean Moss Sapp, and Wrestling With Regret's hearts breaking right now that we haven't watched Briscoe matches. Moni Sanders, I think Rhea Ripley wins the Royal Rumble. I think WWE is doing that thing where they book her badly so the fans rally behind her, and her Raw Talk promo came across that way. And I think it worked. She trended for hours. People even started hashtag Rhea deserves better.
I don't think that means... For me, it's a lock that Bianca's winning. I'm so confident that Bianca is winning the Rumble.
Or Britt Baker.
You think it could be the DMD?
No.
But Ollie, the Forbidden Door.
I know, Cody, free agent.
Well, this WWE Impact partnership is so great that they skipped over Bobby Lashley's entire time when he was in Impact by essentially saying he couldn't find any decent competition elsewhere.
Did some MMA stuff. That's about it. While we're just on the subject, very briefly, because we haven't spoken about it, what are your Cody free agent thoughts?
Well, if you watched Fightful yesterday, I was in the Fightful chat yesterday talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't think he's going.
But do you think it's a work?
Here's my
admin error.
No, I don't think it's an admin error. I think that there is two possibilities for me. Uno. He is just a free agent and he is just seeing what leverage he can get to arrange a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
B, and I think this is one is more likely, it's just a story for Rose to the Top.
Okay, yeah, potentially. I think there's a huge conflict of interest being an EVP in the company and then negotiating your own talent contract. But I suppose there's precedent. Triple H does it. All the other EVPs will have to do it at some point in AEW. Yeah.
And maybe he is just, perhaps he's more interested in going to doing reality TV shows or whatever it is on TBS and TNT. But yeah, for me, my money is on. It's so they can do a storyline in Rose to the Top, whatever series comes next.
You don't think he renegotiates the contract with the idea that now he can fight for the world championship?
No, I don't. I don't buy that because I just think that you could get around that without having to do this. Like, you could just be a heel and just renege on your promise.
WWE move confirmed. Martin Walker, when you watch
what do you think?
I think it's probably a leverage play with the idea of working a shoot.
What do you think of Ali? You think he'll, because me and SP3 were talking yesterday. Well, yeah. Well, do you think that they'll grant the release, or do you think, because SP3 made the point yesterday, which I think is actually an excellent point, that WWE will just hold off and just wait until after Mania and just release him within all the bunch of other people that get released after Mania.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird. It's I don't see why they wouldn't want to release him, but if the reports are true and he has had a sort of backstage falling out, maybe it's a bit more vindictive to keep him hostage a bit longer.
I've got a me and SP3 had this a guarantee. This is a Luke Owen guarantee. There will be a new story planted within the next few months that he's difficult to work with.
Set the timer going. Martin Walker. When you watch the replay of Monday Night Raw on BT Sport, they cut out all the ads and it comes in at 2 hours, 3 minutes, one third of the running time. The sheer length of time spent with ad breaks is one reason Raw is almost impossible to watch live. That's the standard.
That's America.
That's America. And, it, you know, in over here, it wouldn't be far off. You just get 15 minutes more. Of content.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's insane that you lose kind of an hour. I think that's just the way that American telly is.
And just before we get on with the rest of the show, Swain So Sour has been a member 4 months in a row.
There he has.
Bro, I've been a member for 4 months, bro. I'll ask what I've always wanted to ask. What the F was WrestleTalk back then, and how did it become what it is now? WTF was WrestleTalk back, but when is the back then?
When it was a TV show, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it was a TV show on Challenge. Before then, it was a radio show on TalkSport. And it became what it is now by focusing on the YouTube side.
Yeah, there it is. Short version of the story.
Raw opened with something I didn't like.
You're not into... Well, I mean, you hate women, for starters, so...
It's something I struggled to get past because of my rampant misogyny.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, they're opening the show now.
So, Big Time Bex, good promo as always. I really liked the line she had in this, which was, I make stars just to beat them.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. I mean,
Becky is an amazing promo, and I know that there are people that are not into the Big Time Bex character. Totally get it. Because I think people just want to cheer Becky Lynch, and she probably is still given the biggest babyface reactions despite being the number one heel, outside of maybe Bianca Belair. But she always does like really well with her promos. It's kind of a lot bit like, you know, I think you can give the comparison to Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss's performance is very good. It's just the segments are garbage. I think Becky is very good at her promos, just sometimes her promos, the promos she's given are garbage. The characters are garbage.
Yeah, so Doudrop interrupted, of course, they're facing each other at the Rumble, little bit of back and forth. Bianca Belair came out and Liv Morgan, they both declared themselves for the Rumble match. And these four people merged into two teams. Babyfaces on one side, Doudrop and Lynch on the other.
How will they coexist? They announced this on Twitter with the can they coexist, because WWE's Twitter account are in on the joke.
It's fine when they know how bad and repetitive it is.
Yeah.
Totally washes the bad taste out.
Exactly.
And this went like 2-3 minutes. This is what I didn't like, because this is a fine story to continue what they were telling. But I do feel like Liv has been built up to a degree recently, in spite of some losses, and I think, you know, she's steadily working to get better and better and better. But here, after 3 minutes, Lynch gives her the man slam. Doudrop takes out Becky, her own tag partner, but that's fine. They're building to the Rumble. But I don't... Do you think this was a botch or this was a plan?
No, I think this was a mistake.
Mm.
I think that the finish of the match was going to be Doudrop breaks up Becky Lynch, drags her into the corner, tags herself in, and then goes and pins her, potentially off the man slam, or goes and does her own splash and everything. But she went to go and just straight for the pin after breaking up the move. And the referee, because they were supposed to call it as a shoot, said, you're not the legal woman. You can't pin her. So Doudrop then was like, oh, yeah. And then essentially just repeat the spot that she was supposed to do in the first place. That was kind of my read on it.
So a double bad. There was a botch. And then also, even if it went to plan, you just beat Liv in 3 minutes. And the way the botch happened meant she just had to sell the man slam for a minute.
Yeah, it made Liv look proper rubbish. Mm. Yeah, Liv came out of this looking quite bad. Bianca Belair was protected in some way because she wasn't the one that got pinned. I still think she is winning the Rumble. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, my predictions have been pretty good as of late. So much so that I won the last Wrestle League. And that means, Ollie Davis, I get to pick my next contender for the Jam That Championship.
I'm coming for it.
At the Royal Rumble.
I'm coming for it.
I've got some thoughts. I've got some ideas in mind. I've got some thoughts and some ideas in mind.
Maybe versus Luke, but they're both friends this time.
maybe we'll announce something later in the show.
That's a great idea. We cut backstage for the expanded Raw universe, and Edge and Beth Phoenix are talking to Reggie and Dana Brooke. You've already mentioned this. And Reggie wants some advice on how to win the Rumble. How to beat Amos. And I'm just like, you do all this stuff. It's flippy. It's amazing. And Beth's like, you think I'm going to win? It's like, no, you're going to get destroyed, which was funny. But then Beth, like, awkwardly then turned to Dana Brooke and said, Dana, I just want you to know how proud we are of you because you finally got gold. And I'm watching this like, this is everyone insane. It's the 24/7 title. They're not even presenting it with respect at the moment.
But I think that in WWE's mind, or, you know, it's sort of like within that WWE family bubble, it shows that the company has some faith in her, which they've clearly never had previously. So, like, having the 24/7 title is a way to say, like, hey, you're now being given TV time. And we're really proud of you that you put in the graft and effort and you're now getting on TV every single week.
Well, it does not play correctly.
No, it does not.
It does not come across like that. I think it feels like it's a really elaborate, mean-spirited rib on Dana Brooke. I was like, well done. You've won the 24/7 title.
I mean, let's be honest. This belt is more prestigious than the 24/7 championship.
Damn right it is. I'm going to have it back.
I mean, you know, yeah. I'll think about it.
But Damian Priest is cool, isn't he?
Isn't he cool, though? He's friends with Edge, and he's cool.
Yeah, so they have a little chat, and then Edge leaves. Kevin Owens comes up. In a weird sort of character, he was kind of respectful, and I don't quite know what he was doing.
It's because
here.
He didn't want the Damien to come out. He was like pleading with, like, I want to have a match with the Priest side of you.
Yes,
we don't need to get the Damien involved. We can just have a straight, clean match. So he's trying to be like kind and respectful, so as not to anger and get the Damien.
Makes total sense. I liked it. I just didn't understand.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes here. Man, I miss Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins together. Like, why have they dropped that? Because, and I thought to myself, man, I guess because Rollins is now doing the feud with Roman, which was very much a last minute decision. It was probably supposed to be Jeff Hardy. So I guess there's just no room to do the Owens and Rollins stuff. But that's a real shame because I really like their dynamic and I thought they might go on a tag title run. And then blow me down in the very next segment, Kevin Owens brings out Seth freaking Rollins as his guest. And I was like, yes, they are still a team. They are still a unit. Good.
It was the Kevin Owens show. I felt so sorry for them because this was funny. They were great together. They've been great together for weeks now. The crowd gave them nothing.
Yeah, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
They even was like, Seth was like, where should I sit? And Kevin Owens was like, you're the guest. You choose. And Seth looks at them and goes, let's not sit down. And they both go, ha, 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 and they throw the chairs over. Oh, it was, they're brilliant together. Like, there are a few things better than Kevin Owens yucking it up with a heel best mate that he's gonna turn on.
He had a line in this as well when he was talking about Seth's suit, and he said, you look marvelous. And that's French for marvelous. Which apparently, and I didn't know this, I saw someone post up on Twitter, it was a Trish Stratus line from like back in like 2003, 2004 or something. She had the exact same lines as someone I think it was to Christy Hemme posing on Playboy. Said, you look marvelous. And that's French for marvelous.
Fantastic. Well, usually I'd say that's a nice a nice homage. But with WWE, it's probably an accidental copy and paste in the script. So Owens was saying, hey, you beat Reigns for the Universal title. You bring it to Raw. I win the Rumble. We face each other at WrestleMania. Yes. And Seth's just like, yeah.
Seth is still uneasy about it.
Well, why wouldn't you be?
I know. And that's what I like about it. So it's consistent character work from Seth, where he's like, I mean, you always turn on tag partners. So, like, I don't know whether this is legit. I loved the selling that Seth had in that Fatal 4-Way match when, like, Owens was cheering him on getting pins and things like that.
Brilliant.
It was really, really good. So I do love this partnership and this dynamic.
Really, really good, yeah. Total 4 out of 5 show. Because then it went straight into Kevin Owens versus Damian Priest. As soon as they interacted backstage, I was like, oh my God, why have I not thought about this yet? Yes, Owens versus Priest for the US title. Great matches. I love the idea of Owens getting the title back. I believe that could happen. And yeah, they had a fantastic match next.
Great match here. This was a really, really good match. Like, awesome, awesome back and forth stuff. Really good near falls. And this led to Damian Priest's first singles loss since coming up to the main roster last year.
Apparently, even longer. I think January 2020 on NXT.
Wow.
Oh, I might be getting the years wrong. But it's like, it's a long time. He's had DQ losses in singles. He's had losses as part of a tag team, but a clean...
Yeah, and he got pinned by The Miz on an episode of Raw with his pants around his ankles, if you remember, in a handicap match.
So a clean singles loss never happens. They still protected him a bit because Owens faked in the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought this was great. And a rare instance of beating the champion to set up a title feud. Like it.
In not a championship contenders match. It was just a straight up singles match. I think it's interesting that they pinned Priest and like they didn't make a single mention of it on Raw either at all. So like, wins and losses don't matter and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, like from that side of things, probably could have. Maybe this could have felt like a bigger deal, but I'm way into Priest versus Owens as a feud. My prediction is that they are going to cancel each other out in the Rumble. Like Priest will end up eliminating himself by being so angry and the Damian coming out of him as a way to protect Damian Priest so he's not thrown out. He essentially eliminates himself by being so angry at Kevin Owens.
I don't think Seth's beaten Roman.
Yeah.
So I think the WrestleMania direction will be Seth, Priest, Owens.
Triple threat.
Triple threat, but maybe by WrestleMania, it's Seth versus Owens. You could keep the belt on Priest, or you could give them
Seth
the...
Seth Owens again at Mania.
Oh, but that's... Surely that's where they're going. I'd want them to stay together for longer. I was going to say,
like, I don't think you need to do it at Mania. I think you can stretch this out to SummerSlam, maybe.
Nikki, almost a superhero, had a promo backstage. She said, Rhea is the villain here because she broke them up. That's a fair justification. It was Ripley who did the breaking. And then we got another 4 out of 5 show segment. Graduation ceremony. New tag team champions, Alpha Academy. They come down to the ring wearing their sort of valedictorian outfits. Chad Gable cuts an excellent promo. Like all the Kurt Angle, early Kurt Angle goofiness.
All of the Chad Gable goofiness that we have been missing from Chad Gable for so long.
And you could see like Otis, he was trying to bring out the Otis in him.
Yeah, because I think it's easy to forget that Otis is an incredibly charismatic man and really, really funny. And when they first announced this segment and they had them in the graphic of like the graduation ceremony, I was like, man. I thought we were supposed to be taking this tag team seriously because like Otis is now this like super serious heel that's not showing any emotion. The tree trunk of a man that he is. Chad Gable called him that in this promo. So I was like, man, like why would you put them in this graduation ceremony where you're going to make them look like absolute goofs? And then they came out and acted like complete goofs. And I'm like, well, this is a much better team. Like, I'm way more into this set of characters than I am super serious Alpha Academy. Like, Chad Gable even got to do one of my favorite Chad Gableisms, which I forgot he used to do, which is the shush.
Yeah.
I forgot I used to do that on SmackDown all the time, and it made me laugh all the time.
He also said, don't boo education.
Yeah, he's running through all of the achievements that he's had and the crowd booing. He's like, don't boo education, guys. That's not cool.
So funny. And then Riddle comes out, also dressed like he's going to graduate. And you're like, okay, what is this going to be funny or is this going to be, a little bit tiresome? Very funny, I thought. I thought Riddle did all this perfectly. The interplay with Chad Gable and Otis doing his occasional and like his face is brilliant. There was one bit where Chad challenges Riddle to a rematch, but it's in an academic challenge, you know, so it's brains. And the camera focuses on Otis and he just girds like, oh no.
What have we gotten ourselves into?
Brilliant.
So funny. There was also a great line from Matt Riddle where what was it that he said? I'm going to have to find my notes.
Is it the rematch?
You have to light it twice. Mm-hmm. Like a candle.
Yeah. It cut to a guy in the crowd and the guy just went. So good comedy. Funny stuff. This felt like, you know, like your standard mid-level segment in the Attitude Era.
And then when afterwards, like, Otis gets out of the ring to go and attack Matt Riddle, Randy Orton slides in from out of nowhere and RKO's Chad Gable, and then he puts on the graduation gown and the hat, and he poses with Matt Riddle, and they're like buddy-buddy and everything. And I was like, man, Orton looks like he's having so much fun here. Like,
having a good time.
This is Orton that is just like, that all of that Fiend nonsense is so far behind him now, and he's just like, this is what I enjoy doing. I'm having fun.
Who knew he just wanted to dress up as stuff all along?
Yeah.
I bet he enjoyed the Splinter Cell.
Do you remember? Going to be at the Big Show so bad he went to AEW.
So the big exciting thing from this as well is that next week it will be an academic challenge between Chad and Otis against Randy and Riddle.
Now, I am going to steal Sean Ross Sapp's suggestion from this. Surely the punchline of this is that Matt Riddle's a genius.
Yeah.
And like he outsmarts Chad Gable and gets like more correct answers than he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works really well. Austin Theory is then backstage with Vince McMahon. I think I figured out why it's a multicam shoot.
It requires so many takes to get mm-hmm. Vince McMahon's dialogue out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And no one wants to say that to him. So they're just like, let's just film it from a bunch of angles.
Yeah, we can cut it down. Save it in the edit.
So Austin boasted about not losing when he did, but he beat up Finn afterwards. It's a half victory. I thought that was quite funny. And Vince said he was going to beat up Theory using his equalizer, which I assume is his dildo, and then send the picture to Austin's mum.
Yeah, he's going to self-mutilate him.
Not this company.
Not this company. Not now. Not in 2022. Think of the sponsors.
I liked how it then cut to the ring for Finn Balor's entrance. And Jimmy Smith says on commentary, what a motivator. Did make me laugh. Finn Balor and Austin Theory had a match. God, nothing here. Like, it was 5 minutes and Austin wins clean.
Yeah, that's my notes here. Theory wins, takes a selfie.
So, yeah.
There's nothing for Finn at the moment. Finn, like, clearly, I mean, I think this has been pretty evident from day one.
There was meant to be a big push.
Yeah.
Which day one?
Since day one of, like, Finn going up to the main roster and getting injured in his first big push. I think the writing was on the wall there where Vince was like, let's not push this lad anymore.
You mean proper day one?
Yeah.
Not day one recent exchange, main roster switch. Nor the premium live event.
No, I mean literally just the first time he went up to the main roster and they gave him a big push and then he got injured in his first big match. And Vince, you know, you get tarnished with brushes very easily in WWE.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, if anything, most people will forget that actually happened, but Vince will never forget that sort of thing. He'll be like, well, I can't push him because what if I got to kill again and I have to relinquish the belt and put it onto someone else?
Perfect. Perfectly comprehensible. Well, at least you know, 3 week pushes. Austin is still
Vince McMahon project. You can survive a 3 week push if you're Vince McMahon chosen. We'll get onto Amos in a bit.
Nikki and Rhea. We got another replay of the Nikki Rhea angle. Spare us in brackets. Rhea cuts a backstage promo in gorilla position. They both come down for a match. I've read them well. This isn't going to have a definitive finish. Queen Zelina and Carmella interrupt them for just a nothing promo. And Nikki attacks Rhea before the bell rings. They brawl. and Nikki just backs up the ramp. I don't know why the bell didn't ring, because they were in the ring together.
Yeah. I don't know why either. I guess because, you know, storyline-wise, I don't know. Like, why did Queen Zelina and Carmella even come out?
Yeah.
I guess maybe, like, Zelina and Carmella were like, man, we haven't got any other challengers, because that team's now broken up. We're literally the only women's tag team in this tag team division. Should we try and get them back together so at least we can have some matches?
Amos took on Reggie next in a match that was set up last week. It was kind of funny, actually. Dana Brooke was hyping up Reggie backstage, and then in the background you saw R-Truth, Akira Tozawa, a referee, and Tamina all just sort of pop out eating popcorn because they're going to witness him getting destroyed. It was kind of cute, actually. But Amos...
You are so positive. It's...
I don't know what's got it into
What's
me.
Happened?
It was cute.
Are you so excited by Cirque du Soleil that you're like, everything's really good?
Well, former Cirque du Soleil man Reggie right here. I am excited about Cirque du Soleil. I don't think that made me like Raw anymore, though.
Just wake up with a spring in your step.
So some 24/7 jabronis ran down.
Is it because The Matrix was so bad
that
maybe. You were just like, everything else just seems really good now?
Yeah, but Licorice Pizza was excellent.
Oh, did you enjoy it? Did you?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what? It's the exact injection of summer pop fun we all need right now.
Very good.
Great soundtrack. So Amos won. Of course he did. Why are we even talking about this?
Well, I mean, I can tell you why we're talking about this. I wrote my notes here. If Amos was Keith Lee or Karrion Kross, they'd have given up on him by now. Mm-hmm. Because, once again, came out to zero reaction, got zero reaction for his offense, got zero reaction when he won, showed absolutely nothing special. And
tall.
That's it. And, like, I think if he was, like, if he'd have been 7 foot tall and had come from the indies, that had given up on him. Because Vince McMahon had been like, there's no one's reacting to him. He can't get over it. Let's not push him anymore. But because he's a Vince McMahon chosen boy, they almost like ignore the fact that he's not getting these reactions. They're like, well, he'll get over eventually. We've got to give him a try. We've got to do everything we can to make sure that he gets over. So this company knows how to do it. And they can put effort and time into people when they want to. They just choose not to a lot.
Not being able to wrestle is a hurdle, I'll admit.
Yeah, really is. Because, like, what are you going to do with him next? Is he going to win the title?
Yeah, win the Rumble.
He's not winning the Rumble. He's being eliminated by Reggie.
Maryse and Beth Phoenix had their segment after that. Then we had the Mysterios and the Street Profits in an 8-man tag against Dirty Dogs, Apollo Crews, and Commander Aziz.
Talk about house show vibes.
Yeah, but awesome.
That was all right.
Oh my God. This is like a 5-10 minute match with a commercial break in the middle. At the start, I was like, I do not care about this. Like, why are they doing this? It's just filler. By the end, they wrestled so frantically and fastly, I was on the edge of my seat and the crowd were going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it did pick up in its final. Like, when Dawkins got the hot tag, it really picked up. Very dull and very mundane leading up to that. But the final 90 seconds of the match were very good.
Final 3 minutes of the match. I raise you 3 minutes. The Profits are celebrating. The Mysterios throw them over the top rope. And they're like, yeah, it's the Rumble. And then Rey throws out Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they could have turned that into a hangabout.
Well, I think Dominic will eliminate Rey from the Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rey will go, you got me.
Son, let's not work together to actually win the damn thing and decide this at the end.
Well, which they were saying in their promo to start with. Like, the Mysterios cut this promo where they're like, we're going to eliminate 29 other men to win the Rumble. I was like, how? There's two of them.
We got the career retrospective of Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar was not there this week. But what a video package.
This is peak WWE. In that, this video package was awesome. but had such silly bollocks in it as well. We're like, forged into flames of fire.
4 out of 5.
And it was just like this nonsense bit at the start, this like Game of Thrones bollocks at the start, where it's like, the sword forged into flames of fire, eternities of warriors, and all this other stuff. And then it was like, and then it showed Brock Lesnar being Ecclesiastes, and it was like, oh, this is all cool stuff now. You know, it's like the Attitude Era of like Freddie Blassie promos, where it's like, time is infinite. A warrior stands tall against his oppressor.
I'll take this over the next 4 months of roads. We're on a road. First lane. No stopping. Stupendous road.
This video package was awesome.
Great.
It was really, really good. And I would much rather, like, this made it feel like a really big time deal. Mm-hmm. Because you did have, these are guys who have been in this company, you know, give or take when they left, 20 years. Because Lesnar came in early 2000s. Lashley wasn't too far behind him, but he'd come in after Brock had gone. So Brock had his rise to stardom. Benny left and went off to the UFC. And then Bobby came in, and Bobby had his rise to ECW champion and feuded with Vince McMahon in his do-rag. And then he also left. And now they both come back in this company. They're both here, but they still haven't had this match. So they really are building this, like, it's a match 20 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And I totally buy it.
Yeah.
I thought this was a wicked video package. All of the footage they had of their college days, their college wrestling days, all the footage they had of Brock Lesnar, all the photos of Brock Lesnar in the UFC and Bobby Lashley in Bellator. As I said, not Impact Wrestling. So I really do think this spells the end of this partnership that a lot of people thought it was, and it effectively was just like, Bobby Lashley couldn't find any decent challenges outside of WWE, so he had to come back. Which really buries Impact a little bit there. And I really like, parts of this were great, other parts were super silly.
That's what you want from sports entertainment. 4 out of 5. Miz and Maryse are walking out backstage, sort of not that affected by attempted murder. And Miz said, it's Maryse's birthday next week. We'll have a big party. Big party next week, a birthday party, and an academic showdown. It's the go-home Raw for Royal Rumble.
I wager there's going to be a big old present in the ring. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be, you know, something nice in that box.
What do you think it's going to be?
Beth.
The head.
The head of Beth Phoenix.
Fight Club, if you haven't seen it. Spoiled.
I'm not even going to explain the joke, because I think people get more wound up when you don't.
It's a panic room thing. Alexa Bliss's video package.
Hold on. Before we get to that, this bit made me laugh out. This made me laugh so much, because they announced it's a birthday celebration next week. Cuts back to the commentators. Corey Graves yucking it up as the heel, being like, oh my God, a birthday celebration. It's going to be so brilliant. It's going to be the most perfect thing ever. Byron Saxton, the babyface, being like, no, they're heels and I hate them. I don't want to see them have a birthday celebration. I really don't want to watch that. And Jimmy Smith says, and I quote, well, something you have to watch is Alexa Bliss. This segment, it really felt like, yeah, this is garbage, but you've got to watch it, Byron.
I was watching Jimmy. I thought he... I'm really coming to like Jimmy, but not because like he's a great wrestling announcer. He does a perfectly fine role. It's because I just look at him and I think, why are you here?
Because he even said during the Bobby thing, he's like, hey, I called a lot of those Bellator matches. And I'm like, oh yeah, you are a legit sportscaster, aren't you? Like, why are you here?
We got the Alexa Bliss video package. The therapist isn't murdered. And they just did some word association games. Trust. Alexa says Lily. Dull. Alexa says Lily. Imaginary. And that's when Alexa gets annoyed. And the therapist runs off. That's it.
Well, yeah, because we know she's not imaginary. I think Alexa was right to be annoyed at that. I think if the therapist thinks that Lily was an imaginary friend, he wasn't watching the show. Because we saw she's alive. Mm. Every single person... Alexa, people she was in the ring with, Shayna Baszler can very much vouch for the fact that she's real. The commentators all saw that she was real. She's not an imaginary friend. She was very, very much alive. She winked.
Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins then had the main event. A good match, Couldn't get into it because you just knew what was going to happen. These are two guys going for the top titles in 10 days' time. Surprise, surprise. They tried to do everything. Lashley selling his knee, loads of big moves. Seth hit a pedigree and Bobby kicked out because...
It wasn't Triple H doing it.
And screw you, Triple H, I think is is the definite message of WWE right now. God, a belly-to-belly suplex off the top rope that looked great. But ultimately... Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander attacked Bobby Lashley. Wasn't even one of those DQs where it's like, boom, 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 Bobby wins via DQ. It was just like more of a nothing end. Mm. Bobby beats them both up. And while this is all happening, Usos run through the crowd, super kick Seth, and run off themselves.
Yeah, but it's, you know, crucial thing here, Bobby stood tall.
Mm.
Seth didn't, but Bobby stood tall at the end of the day. He may have lost. You notice that when they do these DQ finish, they never announce that someone has won because then you have to announce that someone has lost. Which is funny when you think about it. Because over the last 10 or so years, maybe even longer than that, WWE have gone out of their way. Triple H has done many interviews. This isn't just like, you know, Dave Meltzer writing this sort of thing. WWE have gone out of their way to tell you wins and losses don't matter. Apart from when they do, I guess. Because if wins and losses don't matter, why do you have to protect either guy? Why not just have...
Good point.
Why didn't you have Bobby pin Seth? If wins and losses don't matter, and I think it's just this... I think the whole wins and losses don't matter was a panic, defensive statement against people criticizing them for bad creative. I was like, well, wins and losses... Why do you care why people wins and loss? Like, it's your fault that you care about wins and losses because they don't really matter when you think about it at the end of the day. But they know that they do. Kind of in the same way, like we were doing Rumble 2004 for our Wrestle Talk Extra, and there was a report in the Wrestling Observer and Figure Four that Vince McMahon blew a gasket in a backstage meeting with the talent because Mania plans were being like leaked out to the dirt sheets, the parasites that he calls them, because they don't like journalists covering wrestling, despite the fact that every sport on the planet has journalists covering it. Wrestling thinks it's unique and it shouldn't have. And I think at the end of the day, WWE know that it's not Dave Meltzer writing things in the Observer that aren't making people watch the show. It's their bad product that are making people tune out from the show, but they have to find a boogeyman. So I guess wins and losses are their new boogeyman thing. It's your fault, really, that wins and losses. We know that they do, but we have to pretend that they don't because that makes up for the bad booking we do across the show.
Yeah, well, I made my peace with that a while ago. So I knew this was going to not have a finish. So I didn't mind it.
But what's the point?
Well, I thought when you have such a big angle after the match, that is a legit way to get round an actual finish. Like you can have a DQ finish when there's some, you've got an even bigger surprise afterwards. And I thought this would be the perfect setup to have Lesnar try and cost it for Lashley, or Roman to try and cost it for Seth. And all of a sudden, you've got all four of those guys in the ring. And Lesnar and Roman are also in touching distance, even though they're not wrestling next Saturday. Maybe that'll happen next week. But I feel like there's a lot of potential for where this multifaceted top two title feud can go.
I kind of get you on that front. Mm. But it is also a complete waste of time. Like... You said yourself you couldn't get invested in this match.
Yeah.
Because you knew going into it that it wasn't going to have a finish because they're the two top contenders. Even though wins and losses don't matter in this company, they don't want either of them to lose to go into their big title matches. So, which, you know, just feels like a really backward way of sort of putting together a show. But then that just means then as a viewer, we're just wasting time and spinning wheels. These are no longer TV shows. They're contractual obligations.
Oh, yeah. Two other bits on this. The Hurt Business, you know, why? You could have had Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is in league with Seth. Why didn't he help him to beat Bobby?
Because Bobby's going to beat Cedric and Shelton in a 2-on-1 handicap match next week.
And the whole idea of the Usos taking out Seth was to, I assume, properly take him out. Why did they just super kick him?
To send a message.
Oh, yeah. Message.
Send a message. We the ones.
Well, overall, 5 out of 5 show. I'm going to upgrade it. talking about this, did you enjoy the show more?
No, I thought it was still a complete waste of time. This episode advanced nothing.
Marie's hit.
And it meant nothing.
It meant nothing last week. Beth's going to be written off TV for at least 7 days.
It will mean nothing for next week.
Beth is written off of TV until next week's Raw.
Oh, what great. And I know you're doing that just to wind me up. And it really worked.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I did. I really did fall for that. Yeah, this was a nothing show. And like nothing advanced, nothing progressed. Mm. It was the same thing. Like if you didn't see this episode and you tuned in next week, you might be like, oh, wow, Kevin Owens and Priest are now feuding. But that is literally about it.
I enjoyed the show. I am not going to die on the hill that it was a great show.
No.
But that's my piece.
Here's what I would say. Want a bad show? Very boring.
Thank you to our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers
on
Patreon. What are they saying?
Ollie is the worst.
No, they're not. You haven't even got the chat open.
I just throw them. Ollie is the worst. Dads are fighting. Get him, Luke. That prick meant everything.
Thank you to our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
I have to do the next one because I haven't got the things up.
Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
The Pimp Particle, Terry Hankamer.
The Venerable, Jesse Venable.
Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
All-Star, Chuck Turner, Sam.
LL Cool J, Pause.
Marcus, he's got Soul Campbell.
Always leave the crowd wanting, Brian Moore.
Zoe Sung 101.
Pick him up, Loot Sponge.
And Justin, the Human Godzilla, Wushtrak.
Great, thank you all so much. That is our Hall of Fame class for Tuesday, the 18th of January, 2022.
Mm. Let's get to your wonderful Ultra Chats for this episode. Riot DR. It must be a unique feeling for Mella and Zelina to be the champions and only members of a division. Great time to break up the only other team. I know Nakamura is hurt, but who do you think defends their championship first? Love you 3000, Chan That Chan.
Yeah, I think Nakamura defends his belt before we get another women's tag title match.
Well, we'll have a Franken team.
Yeah, but of who? That's the problem, is that there isn't anyone else to make a Franken team out of.
Bianca and Becky.
No.
How? Will.
Do you know what? They win them in the lead up to Mania. as the WrestleMania.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I like it. The WrestleMania main event like opponents win the tag titles.
And Lynch is like, yeah, you don't need to use your Rumble shot on me now. You should use it on SmackDown. I don't know. I don't like that idea.
You also go because Jack Nichols or Yak Nichols has got one.
Oh, did I miss one? Jack Nichols, just to clarify, the concept of twatting someone with a brick is ludicrous. Can't wait for the Beth has brain damage angle they run next week and subsequent brick on a pole match. I'm sure it will be bare tasteful. Peace out, lads. Looking peng as ever, Ollie.
I like the peng.
Twatting?
Peng is capitalized as well.
Well, Jack knows how we speak on the streets.
Of Walthamstow.
Hey, I was born and raised in the mean village of Hextable. Rinny 36. Hi, it's been a while since I ultra chatted. I've been going through some financial issues, but I'm back on my feet and ready to support my favorite boys. Can't wait for the Royal Rumble live reactions, but there won't be another Christian situation, right?
Well, look, I think Tempo is going to announce himself for this year's Royal Jamble. But, you know, I think you've got to have pretty strict instructions on not to throw yourself into a stream and spoil it for everyone else.
Oh,
Tempo.
My God. Oh, my God. Omar, that's an immediate elimination of him.
Yeah. He wasn't even in.
Omar Josue, you got to love working for a company where you either fired or a victim of attempted murder. Love the podcast, lads, and just wanted to thank you for always making my day a little better. Well, thank you, Omar. Hawk the Outcast, 823. Pie in the Sky booking, Cody wins the Rumble and chooses to re-sign with AEW. Rhodes and Paige main event WrestleMania. Man, I think I got hit with a brick thinking about that one. Jam that jam.
Yeah, I am
gonna happen.
I'm not on the train that Cody is going to be in the Rumble.
I don't think AEW would let it happen, nor do I think WWE would let it happen, even if Cody was a free agent proper.
But what if? Because Cody's beef. I mean, sure, he's got his problems with WWE, but really his problems are with Hunter. And who's in the bad books at the moment? Hunter Hurst Hemsley.
You don't think they're going to bring Cody back to run NXT 2.0?
No, but just to annoy Triple H. Always Be Scamming said, "Hello, you beautiful people. Any chance all three of Ollie's personas show up to the Jamble? That way he has a 33% chance of winning."
Well, I'm not going to be on the live reactions because I'm doing the stuff the next day, but I guess I could enter and I could pre-record some personas if you need somebody to fill up the...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I can't have you as my challenger for the championship because you're not going to be on the live reaction stream.
Oh.
Sorry, I think I've got someone in mind. Kevin Frank said, "Hey, y'all, you kept me from getting depressed while recovering from surgery a few years ago. I watch you two every week. Keep it up." You keep it up, Frank.
Thanks, Kevin. What's Kevin.
Kevin, what did I say?
Frank, but Frank's his last name.
Yeah, it's his surname, isn't it? Yeah.
Also a first name.
Yeah. Luke Owens. Manuel says, "Hi there, my fave British lads." I'm really sorry, Kevin. Manuel said, "Hi there, my fave British lads. Didn't watch Raw. Don't care about it. Just want to see how much got its ass kicked in the ratings after attending last night's American football game with the Rams and the Cardinals. Whose house? Rams house." Uh-oh, I was going to ram me.
Yes. Could be on track for the worst rating ever. In which case, I know what my thumbnail is tomorrow. Shock Vince face. Graph with downtrending line.
Ratings fail.
Anger. I'm just going to put emojis.
You should have a laughing Cody on there as well. Kevin, with a huge, huge donation to say, with a bit of clarification, said, a few years ago, I almost died after complications of surgery and was stuck watching YouTube for weeks. I found WrestleTalk during that time and you saved me from depression. Thank you so much. Also, F Tempest, Sammy's TNT run was awesome.
Oh, that's great to hear that you're doing much better, Kevin. Thank you for the kind words.
Absolutely, yeah. Although I think I do agree with Tempest.
Yeah, I don't think Sammy had a good run.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it was that great. Great first win, though, you know, beating Miro. That was good.
Where's Miro been?
Well, he's stuck in the Matrix, isn't he? Talking to God.
Oh, my God. It's the good place. It's Janet's mind.
He's stuck in Janet's mind. And Zach Robinson Music, who's been a Memberg for 9 months.
Wow.
Which means we basically...
From the start.
Basically, that's from the start, yeah. Bloody hell. 9 months of Memberg goodness. Hope you guys are both well. Will either of you be on the next Clock Tower episode on No Rolls Barred? Jam that jam. Huh. I mean...
Will we?
I am.
I think I am.
You are as well. Mm. We're both on the next episode of Blood on the Clock Tower on No Rolls Barred. It is a very, very, very fun episode.
Yeah. Ben said it was the most incredible episode he's ever run.
Yeah. And like with he said about sort of 2,000-ish games.
I push back on that figure. Yeah. Surely it can't be that many.
I reckon it's probably about that many.
But to get to 2,000 games.
Yeah, including all the playtesting and everything. Wow. Yeah. And he said that there were things that he has never seen in that episode before. So
I got my butthole out. Sponsor cammed it.
On the last episode, he went and he took a dump halfway through. It's also never happened before this week. It's all butthole.
Mm.
Well, I think that draws us to a close. We've got no more Ultra Chats. I do think, though, that I am going to make an announcement. An earth-shattering announcement, if anything. Since I jammed in my Jam in the Jar contract against Pete Quinnell at Survivor Series to win the prestigious Jam That Championship, it is more prestigious than the 24/7 title. Pete has thrown accusations at me that I cheated to win. I played within the rules. And then Pete lost at the day one reactions. Not really reactions, we actually do reactions to that. He lost the day one predictions.
He lost,
which means that he wasn't going to get the number 30 spot in the Jambled. Pete was very upset about it. I don't mean to pantomime things. He makes him look like he's the sympathetic guy.
No, it was an obnoxious cry.
Oh, I see. So, I've thought about this. And you know what, Pete? I'm glad that you didn't get the number 30 spot in the Jamble. I'm actually really pleased that you didn't get the number 30 spot in the Jamble, because that means you won't win the Royal Jamble. And you're not going to win the Royal Jamble, because you're not going to be in the Royal Jamble at all. Pete Quinnell, I challenge you to a rematch for the Jam That Championship at next Saturday's Royal Rumble live reaction stream. Let's settle this. If you didn't think I could beat you fair and square, why don't you put your predictions where your mouth is, and we'll do this maybe one more time. Title on the line, no jam in the jar, no jamble, just straight up one-on-one predictions.
Before you do the emails, can I play you this?
Of course you can.
So
we have got about 4 minutes.
Yeah. So maybe we won't get to this. Isn't it? Like 4 days after I said, get the emails in,
yeah.
I found something else I'm interested in. Okay.
You wanted to talk about the Matrix as well.
Yeah, God. Oh, it sucks. Anyway, that's for Thursday. This is from today's Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez is talking about the RK-Bro Alpha Academy graduation ceremony. Okay, here we go.
He's cutting this promo, and Gable says, shut up, you've ruined poor Otis's life. You're so stupid, Riddle, you probably don't even know what the word rematch means. And Riddle says, isn't that when you light up for the second time? And that guy...
Can you hear that beep?
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
That sounds like Dave Meltzer's fax machine.
Pop. And Gable said he was an idiot and said, you know what we're going to do?
Okay, so... Weird noises happen all the time. And Brian Alvarez has to deal with it. But this breaks him. He snaps in a second.
What's going on over there?
My computer's restarting.
What?
They go on.
I have no idea why. It just is.
It always makes that noise when it restarts?
It's a different computer, but yeah, it just restarted, so it won't be making that noise anymore.
Wow. That's a new one.
Computers don't do that?
No.
Mine does. Whenever it just restarts on its own and makes those noises.
Wow. Well, anyway, Gable said that he wants...
Oh, my God, I love him.
That noise. That is not the noise of a computer restarting.
From 20 years ago, I think. Oh, God, we're both weak.
Oh, God, I love him so much.
You can just imagine. It's this, like, 90s... You know, because computers did used to do that. They restart...
A massive back on the monitor.
Yeah. Blip, 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 blip. It'll make that noise. But he's just not... It's just there. It's doing its thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dave Meltzer. What a man.
I mean, everyone has seen those pictures of Meltzer in his office, which is just surrounded by... old copies of, I presume, The Observer, just piled up around him every week that he's written that thing for the last 40 plus years. What a man.
Mm.
What an insane life he has led. Let's see if I've got time for a quick get better in here. Oh, before I do, actually, thank you to everyone who came to my live show on Friday.
Of course. Yeah, how was it?
It was good. Really, really good. Very, very fun. We sold the place out. So that was very good. Merchandise shifted as well. That arrived as we were recording the episodes. So we were doing the live show and then the merch arrived with people with pre-orders. That was good. And we were going to do two shows, into our main show and then a bonus show after that as well, to kind of give us a couple of weeks off before we sit down and record all the main bulk of stuff again. However, all of the trains got cancelled. So I was effectively stuck in Croydon.
And oh my God.
So we had to like abandon the second show so I could go and like get, and I my train had been delayed for like an hour and 20 minutes. And eventually I got onto a train that got me back to London Bridge. Oof. And yeah, it was funny, like, because I don't really know Croydon all that well. And so
Gus.
I said to my co-host, Ash, and I was like, oh, maybe I should just get an Uber to London Bridge. And he was like, oh, mate, now that would be so expensive.
Very far.
Is it really far? Because it was only 20 quid.
Oh.
That was my reaction when I got there. And I was like, what is an Uber?
On a Friday night?
Yeah.
Wow.
At about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know the exact distance, but I think it's around 100 miles.
Really? To London? I suppose, actually, yeah.
No, it's nowhere close.
Well, I was about to say, you're right. So the reason why I'm a bit confused by that is because when I got to London Bridge, my train going to Croydon was cancelled. Mm. And it was only a 15-minute train ride from London Bridge to East Croydon. So I thought they were pretty close. And when I saw that my train was cancelled, I was like, oh no, I need to get onto another train. So I ran and got onto the first train that I saw that was at like 44 minutes. And then I was just on the train. I was looking. I was like, all of these stops. And I was like, it's only meant to be a 15-minute train ride. No, I was on the stopping service. It took me 50 minutes to get there. If I'd have actually just looked at my phone a bit more, I would have seen that 1 minute later.
Oh, what?
There was another fast service that would have got me there in 15 minutes.
You panicked.
I did panic. And speaking of panicking, we've got to end this show. Sorry, Adam, we will get to your email on Thursday. Thank you all so much for listening. Back tomorrow with NXT.
That's
the one. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.